Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. A clear, pale blue sky hangs above an elegantly designed swimming pool in the back of a large estate. A fit man in his mid-50s surfaces near the edge of the pool and steps out.
Hi, I'm Stephen Weber. And I play the murderer, thanks Lyle, in this handsome mystery movie. Enjoy this exciting multi-platform event.
He drapes a towel around his neck, smiling, then walks away. Netflix presents a Puddin production. Handsome, a Netflix mystery movie. A slim blonde woman in a black bodysuit spins two hula hoops, then skillfully maneuvers one around her body and arms. Jeff Garland, Natasha Lyonne, Christine Woods, Stephen Weber. The woman gyrates her body as a hoop circles her chest and moves down to her hips. Amy Sedaris, Eddie Pepitone, Leah Remini, Tim Sharp, Brad Morris, Ava Akers. Casting by Allison Jones. Costume designer, Carrie Smith. Music by Ben Folds. Editor, John Korn, ACE. Production designer, Corey Lorenzen. Director of photography, Jason Blount. Executive producers, Jeff Garland, David Miner, Andrea Siegel, Vernon Davidson, Ian Brick. Producer, Andy Secunda. Producer, Brad Morris. Produced by Vernon Davidson. Written by Andrea Siegel and Jeff Garland. Directed by Jeff Garland. Words on a black background read, "A little dab will do ya."
Tonight, a little dab will do ya.
In a debriefing room.
As a detective, there's no greater skill that you can hone than your intuition. I mean, if you can't trust your gut, you might as well be in parking enforcement.
Yeah, and go be a meter maid.
A meter man.
Very good, Detective Rice. Very good. You're looking at everything from all angles. All right, let's take a look at the board, shall we? What do you see? What does your gut tell you?
I'm looking at the boner.
A dead man lies on a golf course.
That man's dick is hard.
I think it's the classic Margaritaville theory. You know, the theory that states if a middle-aged man has too much laid-back fun, he ceases to exist.
Yeah. Anyone else got a theory?
Detective Bert Jerpus.
I know, Detective Jerpus. I hired you.
We see this guy here, sure. But is that the whole story? I mean, how do we know that this guy doesn't work at a rental car agency at the airport, all right? And it's his boss's last day. Maybe that guy's name is Roger. Roger loves to golf. So he and all of his coworkers dress up like Roger, golfers. And you want to know what Roger always wanted to do? Skydivings. So they all get in the car, they go over to the airstrip, and they get in the skydivings plane. They get up to 20,000 feet, and they get into an argument. Maybe it's about a girl, maybe it's about who had the right recipe for the veggie chili. We don't know the answer to that yet. But then an argument breaks out, and this guy gets strangled. He gets thrown out of that skydivings plane. Guess where he lands, of all places? Golf course, case closed.
You know what? Let's not trust our guts.
I'm sorry. That's not the bone of a man still living.
Handsome, we need to talk now.
Yes, Lieutenant. Yes.
You didn't fill out your retirement papers.
You put me out here for that?
I thought you should know.
Of course I know. I'm the one who didn't fill them out.
Don't try to complicate things with your sweet talk.
Sweet talk?
You poor, innocent kid. You just don't get it, do you?
He shakes his head.
No.
The lieutenant frowns.
What were we talking about?
I have no idea.
Believe me, I'll remember. And when I do, you'll know Missy. Connie!
She hurries off. Later, at his desk, Handsome packs some files into a leather briefcase. The lieutenant marches over, holding a large plastic container.
I just remembered what it was. We have so many leftovers from Waikiki Wednesday, I think you should take these home.
No, I'm good. I'm trying to watch my weight.
Oh, no, you don't understand. They've got thick frosting,
smeared,
just the way you like it. And they're shaped like beach balls. They'll just bounce right into your mouth, bounce right into your belly, and bounce right out of your butt. Huh?
She licks a cookie.
There's no way I'm taking these home with me.
Hmm? Now, Handsome pulls up on a quiet suburban street. The cookie container and his briefcase are in the passenger seat. He grabs both, pushes the door open, and struggles to his feet, holding the backrest of his seat for support. He walks to a modest green and white bungalow. Inside, a large black and white Great Dane sits on a couch.
Hello, Candy. Hello.
Oh. These are not mine. That's all I'm saying. Don't ask.
He places the container and briefcase on a wooden dining table, followed by his keys, badge, and finally his gun. He then walks over to the couch and sits beside Candy.
Oh. Yeah.
Every day's a tough one. Every day's a tough one, but it's so much better when I come home to you. I love you. I love you so much. You're so pretty. Do me a favor. See those cookies? Don't let me eat them. You hear me? If I go near those cookies, you knock my ass over, all right? Because you're capable of doing that, you big fucker. Oh.
He reclines on the couch, lazily scratching Candy's ears and jowls.
Yeah, let's go for a walk.
Later, he walks her past the lawn.
Hey, handsome, don't pretend I'm not here.
Dear auntie.
Stop letting your dog shit on my lawn.
Handsome peers at dog feces.
Not hers. Don't recognize it.
Of course it's hers. It looks like her curled up as a piece of shit.
Okay, look at her. She's not even looking at it. She knows it's not hers. There's no caginess about her. No recognition whatsoever.
She's just playing it cool.
Look into her eyes. They're pools of pure tranquility.
You think you could read a perp better than me?
You've lost it. You know that, right? Happens to the best of us. You used to investigate real crime. Now you're chasing around cheating husbands, hanging outside of crappy motels in Venice.
You know what makes this country great? It's not that everybody's cheating on their spouses because they're not. It's that everyone unconsciously feels cheated. That's right, by the government, by their bosses, by Whole Foods. And then they transfer that suspicion onto their loved one. And it's that very feeling that keeps me in such great business. I'm thinking of buying a Ferrari.
Well, I just put $50 into my IRA account. And in lieu of getting a Tesla, I'm gonna retire soonish.
That job really wears on a person.
It does. It really does.
Hey, you got new neighbors.
On the other side? When?
Are you not paying attention? A couple of weeks ago, renters looks like a single mom and her kid.
Maybe the kid took the dump.
I just saw nervous fidgeting. That was nervous fidgeting. That's definitely nervous fidgeting.
Of course Candy's fidgeting. You know where I found her? I found her abandoned in a foreclosed house in Burbank.
Buenasera, handsome.
Ah, buenasera, Esther.
Why are we wishing each other a good evening? It is just an okay setup, just okay.
Well, it just started. It could get a lot better.
I don't think so.
The dark-haired Esta sits down on a porch swing and plays an accordion with a melancholy expression.
I still don't know what she sees in you. I'm guessing she likes to be depressed.
I could say the same thing about your dog.
Yeah. We're gonna go back on our walk.
I get it. Your dog has had a tragic history, but don't let her shit on my lawn.
Later, back in the house, Handsome lets Candy off her leash. He folds it and tosses it onto an armchair. He heads towards the door with the cookie container. Handsome briskly walks down his front path, turns onto the sidewalk, and heads up to the house next door, which is lined with trees and bushes. He climbs the steps to the porch and knocks on the cherry red front door. A young woman steps up behind the glass door panel.
Can I help you?
Hi. I'm your neighbor, Gene Handsome. I thought I'd just come and welcome you to the neighborhood by bringing you and your daughter some cookies.
I'm the babysitter.
Oh, okay. Well, then you can take the cookies.
I'm not opening this door.
He holds up a hand.
I commend your cautiousness. You seem like an A-plus sitter. But, as I said, I live next door. I am an officer of the law. So you really got nothing to worry about.
I'm sorry, I'm not comfortable opening the door.
You think I'm a creep?
She blinks, deadpan.
Oh my God, that's the last thing I want to be, is a creep. No, 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 no. That's not my intention. That's not who I am.
I mean, you can go put them on the porch, but I can't say anyone's going to eat them.
He glances around.
I'm going to leave them right over here, but you got to do me a favor. After I go, please bring in the cookies, because later tonight, I don't want to see them out here, because I'm afraid I'll come over and eat one.
Wow.
I know. I got a problem. All right. Anyhow, take them in. Thank you very much. I'll see you later.
Later, Handsome sits in a rocking chair on his porch, stroking Candy, who sits alertly beside him. On another lawn across the street, the blonde woman practices her hula hoops. Handsome glances around, chewing his lip ruefully as he gently rocks his chair back and forth. Now, he lies sprawled in bed. Dim morning light falls across him and Candy, who is curled up in a four-poster dog bed beside his. Handsome answers his cell.
Handsome. Yeah. All right, pick me up.
He puts down his phone and turns to Candy. She lifts her head up to gaze at him.
I gotta go. I gotta go. I'll see you later. Make me get up.
Later.
You know what I watched the other night?
Huh?
Best movie I've ever seen. I don't know if you saw it. San Andreas.
Oh, I love San Andreas. You found
me? Oh, my God. The Rock. Perfection. The absurdity. Best absurdity I've ever seen.
Maybe one of the best movies. Easily the best. What won the Oscar in 2015 that was better than San Andreas?
Best movie ever. And all the time he spent in a boat. He's in a boat, but he's a helicopter pilot. I loved it.
I loved it.
I loved it. What would you do if you had a partner who didn't like how loud you talk?
I don't talk loud. You talk loud.
I don't know who talks louder between us, you or I. We both talk very loud, and I don't know which one is the louder talker.
Now, Handsome and his partner join a group of detectives on a lawn.
Good morning, everybody.
He's looking sharp.
What do we got going here?
Oh.
Holy shit.
What the fuck is this?
A young woman's head lies decapitated on the grass.
I can't believe it. No way. Fleur, I think I know this girl.
You do?
Yeah. That's my neighbor's sitter. I tried giving her cookies yesterday.
What do you mean, tried?
I tried. She wouldn't take them. Yeah. She's a very cautious young lady. She wouldn't even open the door.
She knows the person who did this.
Absolutely. All right. Has anyone else noticed this? But it looks like her body's put into the shape of the Star of David.
Oh, what? Man.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Sir, can I quit the force forever, please?
You want to quit the force?
Yeah.
Well, why?
Because we're all just sitting here casually talking about this chopped up woman in this yard, and it's disgusting.
We're not casually talking about the lady. We're trying to figure out who did this.
Sir, I have a theory.
You do? What do you got?
Suicide.
That's it?
That's it.
I deduce that that's stupid.
Hey, easy. We're all trying here.
Sorry. Detective Bert Jerpus, sir?
I know, Jerpus. Go ahead. What do you got?
This is a drive-by, plain and simple.
How do you get that?
I'll show you, sir. Our victim was out for a walk. A leisurely, late-night walk. Along comes our perp drive in a late 90s Honda Accord purple. That's my gut feeling on the matter. Then this punk, and that's what he is, takes out a gun, shoots our victim. What's on the gun? A silencer. Why is there a silencer? To keep things quiet. Then, to cover his tracks, he chops the body up into these pieces and arranges them into this religious symbol. Case closed.
No, not case closed. We don't have a bullet wound, and we don't have a killer.
Jerpus regards the body, shifting his weight as he chews on a toothpick.
That's why you're the boss.
All right. Who's the king of the castle?
The house belongs to Talbert Bacon.
The actor?
Yeah, I'd bend him over.
And then what?
What do you mean? You know, I'd just bend him over, eat a little popcorn out of his ass.
Okay, I'll do the interview with Bacon.
Okay. What do you want me?
You take care of that.
Guys, on the right is the home of Talbert Bacon, the star of Rainbow Squad.
The crowd on the tourist bus scramble to take pictures.
Do what you gotta do.
Now, Handsome is with Talbert.
I'm freaking out!
Of course you're freaking out. There's a crime scene in your front yard.
Okay. Do you think someone is threatening me? Do you think they're trying to send me a message? What do you think that message is? Do you think Peter is trying to ambush me?
Peter?
Oh, I wore suede pants at my premiere.
Well, I don't think that's really their style. Why don't you just sit down and breathe?
Do breathing exercises?
No, not formally. Just sit down, kick back, breathe.
Talbert sinks into his cushioned couch. Meanwhile, Fleur walks up in front of the tourist bus.
All right, let's go. Keep them moving, all right? There's nothing to see here.
They want to know if that's a decapitated body on Mr. Talbert's front lawn.
No!
Subtitle. She thinks we're stupid because we don't speak English. Why would she assume we don't speak English? Because we're a bus full of tourists from Japan who don't speak English. One of the tourists points to the lawn. Is the body arranged carefully in the shape of the Star of David?
Is the body carefully arranged in the shape of a Star of David?
Unequivocally, no.
What's a Star of David? It's a symbol for Judaism. The young woman excitedly turns to an elderly rabbi on the bus who stands. The Magen David is said to symbolize the shape of King David's shield, but there really is no support for that claim in any early rabbinic literature, in my opinion. Fleur shifts from foot to foot, her eyes narrowing.
Tell me about last night. What did you see? What happened? You may have saw or heard something that you're not even aware of.
Ah, so true. An actor's senses are so finely attuned.
Like a detective's.
Probably a little better than a detective's, but a little worse than a blind man whose fingertips are so sensitive. He can make words out of bumps.
Back to last night. What went on?
Last night. Well, I pet sit for my next door neighbors, so I went next door and fed the dog.
You pet sit?
I do.
Are you close with the neighbor? You love dogs?
I seize any opportunity to add to my actor's toolbox. Should I have the opportunity to play a pet sitter in some future project, I know how they'll feel.
That's a real dedication to your craft.
It's my life.
When you were over there, did you see anybody walking around, coming, going?
No, nothing. It was all quiet. Not a creature was stirring on my lawn.
Well, I really don't think the victim would have been stirring. So you come back from your neighbors, you're home. What next?
Well, I got undressed for bed, and I watched my movie. Yes, it was on cable. It's an old movie of mine from 1985, Patty Cake. I played Emil, the baker man's illegitimate son.
I think I remember that one.
It's an early work, but underrated. The scene where I'm crying and chanting, Patty Cake, Patty Cake. I hold up my little hands for my father to clap them, and he rejects me. Still holds up.
So you're watching the movie. Did you hear anything?
No.
Okay.
They both stand.
If you think of anything else, please give me a call. Do not text me. I don't enjoy it.
So you will send me a special police detail for my protection?
Oh, we're going to keep an eye on things. Don't you worry.
Oh, thank you. I'm used to a lot of attention.
Handsome's fixed smile fades as Talbert walks away. He turns to the front door as an older, gray-haired man enters.
You do know it's the ex-boyfriend, don't you?
Lieutenant Kenda.
Detective Handsome.
Do not worry. I've got all the angles covered.
It's always the ex-boyfriend. It's the old, if I can have you, no one will have you.
You see chopped up bodies a lot?
Not a lot, but I've seen them. You know what that says? To kill you is not enough. I want to punish you. Very personal, very close. Have you been stretching, like I said?
Occasionally.
You need to do it more than occasionally. Limbers you up.
The two men stare, deadpan at each other. An officer walks up, looks between them, then steps around them and exits the house. Kinda and Handsome remain staring at each other, standing stock still. Now, Handsome walks up to his neighbor's front door. A short woman with long sandy hair answers the door.
Hey! Oh, shit. Sorry, I thought you were my sitter.
Yeah, about that. I'm, Gene Handsome, detective with the LAPD, and coincidentally, your next-door neighbor.
Oh, hi!
Hi.
Nice to meet you. Oh, shit, did Heather get arrested?
Why would you say that?
Sticky fingers. Yeah, she's stolen a few of my going-out tops, but it's really hard to find a good sitter.
Well, got some bad news.
Later.
This is so brutal. And then they get chopped up like that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Poor Heather.
It's terrible. And what was your relationship with her? Was she close to you guys? Was she like family?
She shrugs.
She was a babysitter, but, you know, nice.
She was fine.
Oh, hey, honey.
Hi there.
This is my daughter, Karis. Karis, this is Detective Handsome. Did you overhear everything that happened?
Mm-hmm. The angels came and took Miss Heather to hell.
The woman points at Karis incredulously.
I don't know where she gets that kind of stuff.
Kids.
Oh, shit. I'm so late for work and I'm out of sick days.
What time do you work till?
1 o'clock. Fridays are my half day.
I'll watch her.
Wait, are you serious?
I'm totally serious. I've got some questions to ask you, and we can get back to that as soon as you come back.
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much. Sure. That's great. Yeah. You're fine. You're great. Yeah.
She looks at her daughter.
Good? Okay.
She pats Karis's shoulder and leaves.
How about that? Who wouldn't want a real detective as their babysitter?
Karis shakes her head and strides out of the room.
Yes, you. You're the one who doesn't.
Later, in the living room.
I'm really good at dancing. You're gonna love the show that I've planned for you.
Very exciting. I love the arts. I'm a patron of the arts.
Take a seat on the couch.
All right.
In a purple, green, and blue sequined costume, Karis turns on a small boombox and slides open the doors to the dining room to reveal a set of red velvet curtains. She goes and stands behind them.
Get a load of me, get a load of you. Walking down the street and I hardly know you. It's just like we were meant to be.
Handsome sits waiting on the couch with his hands on his knees. Karis remains behind the curtain.
You say it isn't right. And I've got someone.
When does it start?
This is the pre-entertainment. It's important to set a tone for the audience. And for the record, you can't be talking to me.
Handsome raises his brows, then turns his attention to a framed picture on an end table beside him. He looks up to see Karis standing before him. She parts the curtains and walks away. Later, he sits at the kitchen table with his head in his hands.
Hi. How's Karis?
A delight.
Really?
Great kid, yes.
Oh, good. Great.
Yeah. Is now a good time?
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
All right. How was your day?
Ugh, it was disgusting. Ugh, I hate teeth. I am so sick of looking into people's mouths. You know, I have this recurring nightmare where instead of all of my teeth falling out, I get more of them. Just like more and more and more. I get teeth. Fingernails and teeth toenails. My belly button even sprouts a tooth. It's disgusting.
Have you thought of getting out of the dental industry?
Yeah. Teeth are vile.
You know, both of our jobs, we see the worst of people.
That's so true.
Heather, your babysitter.
Yeah.
Did she have any romantic interests?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, she did mention an ex-boyfriend, but he's back east and he's married now. I didn't get the sense that they talk.
Okay, do you have any info on him?
No, just that he's married. That's
it. Okay. Was anyone giving her any trouble? Did she, have any issues she was dealing with?
Well, I mentioned the, like, klepto shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know she had a hard time paying bills, but that's pretty standard, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so do I. You know, the rent on this place is ridiculous, but we have to have a yard, so.
She smiles.
You know what? She did actually tell me that sometimes when she would go out, she would get into these, like, bar fights with other girls when she got drunk.
About what?
Well, one time I know it was because she made fun of a girl's highlights. Apparently, Heather told her she looked like a bale of hay from Temecula.
That's a very specific insult.
That is why it stuck with me.
Mm. Did she live alone?
Oh, no, there's a roommate, Amanda. Here, give me your pen. Amanda would probably know more of, like, the personal crap about Heather. Most of the time, we just talked about what she gave Karis for dinner. That's the address.
You don't dot your I's.
Who needs them?
At Amanda's house.
Heather lived here in the living room.
Yeah, this is all of her shit.
She gestures around the room.
Listen, I have a guy from Tinder jogging over, so is there any way you could come back later?
Forgive me, but for someone whose roommate just died, you don't seem very upset.
Oh, no, I'm really sad. But also, I want this place to just go back to being a normal one bedroom because this is a really awkward setup.
You two didn't get along?
No, I mean, she was fine. Like, if you had your period and were lying down and complaining. But, like, she could also be really rude.
What, like making fun of your highlights?
I haven't had highlights since 2014, so.
I don't know. I'm not keeping track. It's all good. What is this used for?
I don't know. She was actually, like, a very problematic roommate. Like, I have my childhood gymnastics trophies. I keep them on my headboard. She thought that was dumb. So then when I went to the bathroom, she called me Mary Lou Rectum. Oh, and then one time, she told me to tell my tits they could come out now that my gymnastics career was over.
She date anybody?
Heather likes old dudes. There was one guy she was meeting up with. I think he was in his 40s.
Old dude. Yeah, what do you know about him?
Nothing. He didn't stay over. He didn't spend the night. I do not think he wanted to be seen in public with her.
Why is that?
Well, that's usually really good sex. When someone hates himself for stooping to fuck you, you know?
No, I don't. I have no idea.
Also, he bought her a lot of finery.
Finery? What's finery?
You know, luxury clothing for a modern woman.
He picks up a small jar of lotion.
Silky Lamb, is that like a lotion version of finery?
No, I just told you. Finery is luxury clothing for a modern woman. Listen, my booty call's about to be here any second, and he's my favorite match on Tinder, so I can't have you fucking this up.
Okay, thank you for being so patient.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Now at a morgue.
Lester! Welcome back, my friend. How was your vacation?
Had a mind to stay in Tahiti longer, but all these bodies thought different.
Pretty gruesome. What do you think?
Well, something very interesting is going on. Come on over here.
They walk over to Heather's body.
You see this sheen coming off her skin?
I do.
Can you discern that this woman is unusually greasy?
She is.
She is very well creamed. This here is a very well creamed body.
She seems unusually greasy.
You don't see this very often.
Well, that makes sense. I was just at her apartment. She had an extremely nice jar of lotion.
Oh, you sure that jar you saw said lotion?
When I see the word lotion, I don't forget.
No. This here's not lotion. This is cream.
Well, what's the difference?
You don't know?
I don't know.
Well, lotion's water-based. You apply it literally all over your body. But cream is oil-based. You gotta be careful with cream. Little dab, do you?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Can you just repeat that for me?
Okay, listen carefully. Lotion is water-based. As much of that as you want, don't matter. It's water-based. But cream, that's oil-based, you hear me? Oil-based. Little dab, do you?
Okay, so lotion, I go crazy.
Yeah.
Do what I want, all over. Now, what's the story with Cream again?
A little dab, do you?
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyway, she was killed via blunt force to the head. You see this globe-shaped dent here in her skull?
Yeah.
Well, weapon was by A.B.
Well, what about the dismemberment?
Well, that was all post-mortem. But what's most notable about the job is whoever did it was very, very sloppy. Just jabbing here and there till the limb come off.
Jabbing? Little jab will do you.
Get the fuck on out of here.
Okay.
At the office, Handsome and Fleur look through a file.
Cell phone records, bam. Okay, so most of these calls are to be expected, right? We got the job, roommate, parents, pot dealer, pussy waxer. But then there's a number that repeats. Traces to an office landline registered to an executive, Lloyd Van De Wiel. He's in fireworks.
Well?
Handsome! Oh, shit. We need to talk now!
The lieutenant strides over to Handsome and stands before him with a pointed look.
Meet you in the cart?
Yeah. See you there.
Fleur leaves, and the lieutenant takes a seat.
So, how'd you like the cookies?
They were great. Amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because truth be told, they weren't leftovers. I made that batch just for you.
He regards her with a frown.
I just want you to know that I'm here. At the station, at your house. Not my house. I have a family visiting from Caracas. They're very nice. I just don't know how they feel about the sound of gentle lovemaking. Or raunchy lovemaking. Whatever. Just sounds in general. Why did I come here to see you? Oh, that's right. The retirement papers. Sign them, Handsome. You're not fooling anybody. And by the way, my tubes are tied.
She gives him a suggestive look and walks away. Handsome grimaces and looks around the office.
Gotta fix this door.
Yeah, I will.
Handsome and Fleur walk from his car up to a set of glass front doors which bear a decal of a burst of sparks and the words fireworks, fireworks, fireworks. Inside, a stout woman beams at them from behind a desk.
It's a booming, sparkling morning. Can I help you?
Yes, Detectives Handsome and Scazzari of the LAPD.
We're here to see one Mr. Lloyd Van De Wiel. One moment, please.
Mr. Vander... Oh, shoot. My finger slipped. Mr. Vander...
Yes, Guy. What's going on?
I'm sorry. I got excited and I pushed the button too soon, Mr. Van De Wiel.
Guy, don't push the button.
Oh, God. Go ahead. No, I...
Sky?
Hey, forget about the intercom.
These detectives are here to see you.
In his office.
So, what's this all about?
Do the thing.
Yeah.
Fleur takes a picture of Van De Wiel and sends it to Amanda.
Mm-hmm. What? What was that for?
Oh, don't worry about it. You look great in the shot. Then again, I bet you've never taken a shitty photo in your life, huh?
All right, is this about the Lancaster Jazz and Heritage Festival? Do we go too big?
Amanda responds with a text. Yeah, that's old guy.
So clearly you're familiar with Heather Dromgrohl.
Heather?
You were seeing her romantically?
No. She's an old family friend from back east. The kid of my parents' friends. She moved out here recently, and I was helping her get set up.
Oh. So you guys aren't like a thing?
No, I'm single.
Oh, so you're single?
Yeah, I'm single.
He's single.
I was asking.
Okay, she'd be calling you regularly for...
Just to get advice, check in. She got real lonely in L.A., as one does. I think she looked to me like a bit of a father figure.
Oh, yeah, Daddy?
Yeah, that's right.
Fleur grins flirtatiously.
So why are you asking all these questions about Heather? Did she get arrested?
Why would you say that?
Maybe blackmail. I know she had a bit of a blackmail incident with her high school English teacher.
You know, I had a blackmail incident with my sexy-ass black high school English teacher, too.
Heather was the victim of a murder on Thursday night.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
What? I can't believe this. Wow. I mean, I can't believe this, but I can believe this.
Excuse me?
Huh?
You know, some people, you can't imagine anyone wanting a murder. But Heather?
He shrugs with an iffy gesture.
You know? But still, it's devastating. Jeez. God, Jesus.
Any ideas of who would be upset with her?
No. No one comes to mind.
Wow.
Mr. Vander?
Oh. I'm sorry. My 1 o'clock is here. But hey, let me give you my card. And you guys can give me a call if you have any more questions.
Who's that?
Oh, that's my kid, Karis. She's the biggest sweetheart. Anyway, here. Yeah, just give me a call if you have any names you want to run by me, and I'll help however I can. I aim to please.
He eyes Fleur deliberately.
I'm not buying the whole father figure thing. Thank you very much.
Sure, have an explosive day.
I mean, who calls their fake dad that much?
Yeah, it's very suspicious. You know, I just, I realize I gotta go to the bathroom, like, bad.
It's okay, I'll wait.
Nah, you know, it could take a while, so why don't you just go ahead and I'll take a cab back to the station.
That's okay. What, it's gonna be that long of a trip? Okay, I'll just sit and meditate.
Nah. Yeah, you go on. Like the lady said, it's gonna be an explosive day, right?
Interesting.
What?
Now, Karis answers the front door. A boy stands with her.
Hi there.
Why are you talking to me?
Oh, the detective. Just busy detecting, aren't you? I'm Charles, Karis' friend. We met while making fun of the mailman's calves.
Hi, Charles. Nice to meet you. Karis, could you tell your mother that Detective Handsome's here to see her?
Oh, we're off to check out a 4-bed, 3-bath open house, so.
Charles leaves with Karis.
Oh, hi, Jane. Come on in.
Hi. I was driving home from work and I thought of something I wanted to ask you.
Are you hungry? Do you want some pasta?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Were you aware that your ex-husband knew Heather?
Her eyes grow wide.
What? Lloyd was fucking Heather?
Well, he says that he wasn't.
Oh, you know what? I bet he got off on the fact that he was fucking my babysitter.
So you definitely didn't know?
He would fuck my gardener just to rattle me, because that's just the kind of guy that he is.
Knock, knock.
Oh, hey, neighbor. Hey.
Aroma of the forest floor, full-bodied, jammy finish.
That's what's in store for you tonight.
Wow, thank you.
I was right.
You two know each other, yeah?
Devin?
Yeah, we do. Handsome here has broken up quite a few of my house parties. I affectionately like to call him Detective Buzzkill.
I wouldn't call 4 strippers playing with your dreidel collection a house party.
Sounds fun.
Devin and I met when I was watering the flowers in this very window.
Mm-hmm. And I was staring into her house over the fence.
And then he waved at me.
Oh, I'm a waver. Mm-hmm. And we locked eyes, and there's a moment where we were like, we should probably have dinner together. And we're about to do that.
Devin moistens his lips.
Cool, cool.
Handsome trudges back towards his house, looking downcast. He stops and stares dully at Durante's house.
Put that accordion on my abs.
Later, Handsome is at a drive-thru diner. A waiter takes down his order on a notepad.
And, double cheeseburger.
Okay, would you like to make that a meal?
You know what? Give me the single cheeseburger on its own and make the double cheeseburger a meal, yes.
Okay, and what beverage would you like with your meal?
You know what? Fuck it. Chocolate milkshake.
Okay.
The waiter hands the page to his companion, who runs into the restaurant.
I'm sorry, I know you guys are church kids. Excuse the salty talk.
It's okay. Satan gets all of us sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, tonight's the last night I'm gonna eat this crap. I mean, no offense to Norm's Burger. I don't mean that your food's crap. It's just, it's not good for a guy like me. Yep, this is it. I'm gonna start fresh tomorrow.
Well, I think that's great. You can be your best self.
I can be my best self. Very kind of you.
He slowly rolls his car forwards to see the other waiter now at the window.
Weren't you just out back there with the other guy?
Oh, the headset's broken, so.
Yeah, sort of like old-fashioned service.
Yeah, a bit like that.
Okay.
957's your total.
I was ready.
32, please. Number 32, your order is ready.
Handsome rolls his eyes as he waits, then notices a paper sign in a window reading, "Set thine house in order." Handsome sighs and lowers his eyes. He glances back at the occupied waiter and slowly drives away. Daytime. Blur shows Handsome a highlighted document.
Okay, so this is her debit. I flagged some interesting purchases. Okay, you tell me, who the fuck spends 900 bucks in one pop at Hallmark? Okay, come on. I mean, otherwise it seems kosher. This one is her Victoria's Secret Angel card. I mean, the girl could not resist a buy five panties, get the six free event. And here's your PayPal. I found something which I think will intrigue you. Okay? What's that?
A detective walks over with a file.
Did you sign off on this?
Yeah. Why?
She gapes at Handsome, then walks away. He shrugs at Fleur.
The fuck?
When did you start wearing ties to work?
I don't know. Oh! She's getting regular deposits from Mr. FFF at AOL.com. Fireworks, 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 huh? He's putting $500 a week into her account. What's he paying her for?
I guess it just must be out of the goodness of his heart, right?
Where's the, cell phone records? And they're underneath this. And I've got them. And okay, how about this? Heather, Mondays at 7:30 p.m., is calling Lloyd. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, also calling Lloyd. Same time. Fridays. You ready for this? 1:30 p.m., she calls Lloyd. Take a guess why.
Chits and chats at Chucky's?
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes, that sounds like fun. Friday is the day that Heather gets off work early. Nora works until 1. She comes home, she says goodbye to Heather. Heather goes out. Who does she call? Mr. FFF. That's right. I think she's reporting to him.
Back at Vanderweel's office.
Well, Mr. Vanderweel, looks like we're having a reunion.
Hey, you.
Hey, you.
They smile flirtatiously at each other.
Don't play coy with me. I know I'm looking at two people who did the hokey pokey yesterday.
What?
Bingo.
Okay, you were given money to Heather to spy on your ex-wife.
What?
I see you. Oh, I see you clearly. And let's not waste this moment of beautiful transparency by watching you throw a pile of stinky bullshit at my face.
Okay. Okay, I planted Heather in Nora's home to get dirt on her. We're in the midst of a custody battle, and Heather would tell me things Nora would forget to do, like get Karis her flu shot. She told me the crap that Nora was feeding my kid. She told me what would stress Nora out, besides me and my lawyer.
Okay, so look, I'm gonna ask you a few questions, and Handsome over here is gonna know if you're telling the truth or not.
He glances nervously at Handsome.
Did Heather turn on you and threaten to give you up to your wife?
No.
Fleur looks at Handsome, who nods.
No. Was Heather blackmailing you for even more money?
No.
Did you like that move I did yesterday where I made your dick bend all the way to the right?
I loved it.
Fleur smirks. Now, they head out of the office.
Bye, have an explosive day.
Thank you.
You can go in now.
Talking to me?
Yeah.
The man gets up and strides to the office door with a swagger.
Appreciate it.
He wears shades, a leather jacket, and biker gloves. He eyes Fleur and Handsome and nods at them. He enters the office. Handsome walks up to Sky.
Hey, Sky. Is that the book of all your company's work?
Mm-hmm, sure is.
Wow, those are beautiful fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Very impactful.
Can I borrow that book for a couple of days?
Sky's smile drops.
Well, this is the coffee table book.
Well, you've already taken it off the coffee table.
Yeah, you have a point. But it'll go back over there soon.
Handsome nods.
If you remove it, then what would I put on the coffee table?
You don't have a second book?
No. We get a monthly fireworks magazine, but it's not nice for putting out.
You could consider this an opportunity.
An opportunity?
Yeah. To get a second book. You could get a book on fireworks, plants, carpentry, whatever you want. You're in charge.
Sky glances down at the book, then back up at the smiling Handsome. She shuts the book decisively.
It's time.
She nods. That night, Handsome walks towards his house. Nora approaches from behind him.
Hi, Jean.
Nora, how you doing?
Good. So, I think the mailman put one of your letters in my slot by mistake.
She hands him an envelope.
Indeed they did. Thank you very much.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Is that someone you put in jail and now they send you threats?
No. Nothing like that.
Oh, come on.
No,
tell
it's not.
Me.
A while back, I was into this woman. Her brother was in prison. She said, can I look at his case? I did some investigating, and there wasn't much I could do, but I started a correspondence with him, and I thought it was going to be a temporary thing. And here I am 10 years later, still getting letters.
So you still read his letters?
Of course. I feel bad tossing them. Besides, every once in a while, he writes some nice poetry. What are you up to this evening?
Oh, well, I'm on my own tonight, just doing some online gambling. Karis is with her dad.
Oh. I'm always on my own.
Well.
Yeah. Would you like to come in?
Were you working late?
Inside, he hands her a beer.
No, I was just out doing some errands. Not a big deal.
Nora reclines on the couch, stroking Candy.
You need another pillow?
No, I'm comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about some music?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Fantastic. You are in luck, because I just started buying 45s.
Oh.
Last time I collected these, I was a little kid. My first 45 was I Think I Love You by the Partridge Family. Maybe that dates me. I don't know. Well, anyhow, this is one of my favorite songs.
He drops the needle.
Mm-hmm. That's Elvin Bishop. Yeah.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
Handsome sits down and taps the armrests on his chair. He closes his eyes and sways his head, and Nora does the same. Candy looks up at Nora, who pets her head.
Elvin's a blues guitarist. Blues guitarist. His voice is very gravelly, and so he wrote this song and didn't feel it was right for his voice. So he let his backup singer, Mickey Thomas, sing the song, and it went on to be a big hit. Big hit.
Nora grins. Handsome winces and gets up, plopping down in another chair nearby.
I like this chair better.
Yeah. Nora shuts her eyes, rubbing Candy's head.
I find the wooziness of that guitar so romantic.
Handsome nods at Nora. She grins. Handsome rises out of his chair.
Elvin Bishop's nickname was Pig Boy Crabshaw. How about that? Pig Boy Crabshaw. Where's a name like that come from?
I'm sorry.
Suddenly, Nora is crying. Handsome hurries over.
What's going on?
Oh, I'm fine.
I am a bit concerned. You know, you're crying.
No. It's fine. I just, wow. That song, it's just,
evoking something I want so badly for myself that it aches. For my kid. I have this dream of owning land. And I think about Ojai all the time. And in my dream, we have a couple acres, nothing fancy. Enough that we have those like big, beautiful reaching trees. And a bunch of dogs. And they just run through the grass with Karis. And God, I love dogs so much. And in my fantasy, I'm not like staring into people's decaying mouths anymore. I'm massaging beautiful dogs for a living. It's my job. And I'm spending time with my daughter, my weird, awesome kid. And you know, we're so far away from all of the fighting and the and all the lawyers and just all of that crap. And for some reason, in this song, I can really feel that. I can feel what it would be like to have that.
Handsome listens, mouth open.
That's why I'm crying.
I have the same exact dream.
You do?
Yeah, exactly the same. I dream about the open land, the green, the trees, the dogs, specifically this dog, and not being a dog masseuse, that's not something I'm interested in.
It's not for everybody.
But, you know, I love all that. And one thing that I don't have that you have is just the family aspect. I dream of having a family, yeah.
He offers a wincing smile. Nora shakes her head.
Isn't it so weird how you can miss something that you never had?
It is.
Handsome smiles softly at Nora as they both stroke Candy. Later, Candy lies on the floor and Nora is asleep on the couch. Handsome sits beside her.
Want some tea?
He looks around the room. Suddenly, Nora lifts her head and opens her eyes.
What do you think about a shaved pussy?
Handsome furrows his brow.
What?
She looks at him for a moment, then falls asleep again. Handsome grabs a blanket and tucks it over the sleeping Nora. Later, Handsome sleeps in his own bed. Candy lies beside him. She wakes up and presses her paw into his forearm. He shakes his head slowly.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm getting up.
He climbs out of bed and steps into the living room wearing a t-shirt and tight boxer briefs. The couch is empty and the blanket neatly folded in the center of the cushions. Handsome looks around the room, then out a window. Standing outside is Karis with a dark, blank expression. Handsome tilts his head as they stare at each other. He sighs and walks away. Later, he flips through Sky's coffee table book. One page reads La La Lime, Summer Solstice Bash 2016. He turns a couple pages and stops, lowering his hand from his mouth and studying one image. He grabs a magnifying glass. In the corner of the photo, he sees Bacon and Heather standing near each other at the featured party. Later, Handsome and Fleur arrive at a park. They exit the car and walk across a large grass field. The Hollywood sign looms on a hill overhead.
And she mumbled, "What do you think about a shaved pussy?" I mean, who says something like that? Was she casually checking out my opinion? Was she taking a poll? Was she gauging my interest? What is that?
Well, look, I mean, it could have just been a point of personal curiosity, you know? Like, what do you think of this shade of lipstick type of thing?
That's what I'm afraid of.
Speaking of which, I have a very slightly achy vagina today.
I'm so sorry.
I'm walking a little funny. I mean, look, it's only slightly.
Mr. Vanderweel!
Vanderweel stands nearby, surveying the field with three others. He approaches the detectives.
You're a difficult man to get a hold of.
His girth is nuts.
Hey.
Heard from Sky that you were out here hooking up another event, and so I just got a few more questions for you.
That's no problem.
Tell me about the La La Lime party.
Well, I never tell you, you know, I fucked the founder of La La Lime once. I got a free pair of pants out of it, so.
Very helpful.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, we did the show for that party, yeah.
And did you bring Heather?
Actually, yeah, I did. When she found out it was a celebrity-packed thing, she begged to come, said that I could back off on buying her expensive finery in exchange for me bringing her as my assistant.
Sorry, back up. Finery? What's that?
I don't know, but she talked about it all the time.
It's luxury clothing for the modern woman.
Okay. What the fuck?
So I know. Shoot me.
Hey, look, was she talking to any particular people at this party? Anything we should know?
I mean, she definitely was making the rounds, but I was so busy overseeing the dragon dicks, I couldn't. Oh, it's an industry nickname for grounded fountains. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I couldn't, like, keep an eye on her nonstop.
There were gift bags there, correct?
Yeah.
From the Silky Lamb?
What?
Did you get one?
Oh, no. Those bags weren't for us. Those were closely guarded. Apparently, in these bags, there was a lotion and a cream that was worth $1,000.
You say a lotion and a cream?
Yeah. $1,000. Can you believe that? Lotion and a cream? Heather tried to take a bag. They made her give it back. Said it was only for famous people. Are we good?
We're good. Got all we need. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
She gestures to him as they walk away.
Oh, hey. So listen, I was just thinking, I think I'm gonna hang back for a second and get a couple more details on the party, you know? Just nothing you need to concern yourself with. I just want to make sure we cover our bases.
Where is this gonna take place? I don't see any space now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you wouldn't, right?
Fleur heads back to Vanderweel. Handsome takes a call from Lester at the morgue.
Handsome.
Ingredient analysis on the girl's cream came back from the lab.
It matches a rarefied brand.
Fancy pains.
Silky Lamb?
That's it.
Of course it is.
A little dab will do you.
Indeed, Lester. A little dab will do you. Have a good day.
Behind Handsome, Fleur and Vanderweel run into the bushes. Now, Handsome pulls up to Bacon's house. He struggles to get out of the car, heaving his weight to the side. Handsome steps into the driveway, frowning. He cranes his neck and peers at the property next door. The detective walks all the way around the property's long, low stone wall, topped with a hedge. He arrives at the side of the house. He peeks through the window and sees a dog in the garage pacing before an empty water dish. Handsome removes his jacket and wraps it around his hand and forearm. He winds up to smash the window open, but it gives way easily. Climbing through the window head first, Handsome lumbers his way inside, kicking his outstretched legs. He wriggles from the window into the front seat of a parked car, climbing across and pushing the passenger door open. He spills onto the floor, face first.
Oh, my back. Oh, fuck. 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 Oh.
He rolls onto his back. The thirsty dog arrives and licks his face.
Yeah, I'll get you some water. Oh, is that good? Look at how delicious this water is. You're gonna love it. All right. Mmm, diggity. All right. There you go. This will make you feel better. All right. Oh, let's get some air for you. Oh, there we go.
Handsome switches on a fan.
Feel better? Feels nice, right?
Handsome peers across the garage at a workbench full of tools. He approaches and leans forward. He reaches out at a saw handle and wipes a finger on it. He pulls back with a dollop of flesh-colored cream and rubs it between his fingers, grimacing in thought. He knocks on Bacorn's door, and the actor answers.
Detective! Well, come to check on my well-being? Now that's service.
Yeah, I'm in the service industry.
Handsome steps inside.
I'm sorry, did I interrupt your swim?
Oh, no, it's fine, it's fine. You know, there comes a point at which one can be too fit. I've got to watch myself sometimes.
Yeah, as an actor, your body is your instrument.
That's so true. You know, when I'm performing, I'm never just delivering a line. I'm vibrating.
No wonder the ladies love you so much.
Handsome inspects an empty ice bucket.
My vibrating isn't something to joke about.
Right, right. So I just came by to make sure that all your windows and doors are secure and nothing could happen, you know. Well, this is a bit, oh, good. All right. Yeah, yeah. That is solid as a rock. You are good to go. Do you have any other doors like this in your house?
Well, yes, off the balcony in my bedroom.
By the way, there's no ice in there.
That's wonderful. After you.
They step into the bedroom.
Yeah, you won't want anyone coming in here while you're sleeping, being vulnerable.
Oh, God, no. My emotional vulnerability is already at such peak level. To think I'd also be physically vulnerable?
Handsome peers out the window.
Yeah. Well, you know what? All tight. All good.
Yeah.
Well, looky, looky. How about that? Got the silky lamb. How about that? You know, I hear great things about the companion lotion. Do you have that too?
Well, the lotion I gave to a friend, the creme, is the superior product.
The creme?
Creme.
Tell me about the creme.
Do you see how well moisturized I appear, even though I just got out of the pool?
You're a very shiny individual.
I apply just a dime-sized dollop of silky lamb when I got out of bed this morning. That's it.
No.
Yes. It's totally water-resistant. Fucking genius. I swear by it.
A little dab will do you.
Huh?
Handsome observes a statue of Atlas shouldering the world.
Well, this takes over the room. Look at that.
Yes. That was a gift I received when I wrapped the film Atlas Shrugged Again. Yeah. I don't normally do light romantic comedies, but I felt I wanted to give back to some of my, well, simpler fans.
Yeah, that movie. Can't all be winners.
What?
Oh, please. That movie was a piece of crap. But, come on, that happens. Oh, that reminds me. Remember the last time we saw each other, we talked about your movie Patty Cake? You know, the movie you watched the night that monster dropped that body off in your front lawn?
Yes, it was a terrifying evening. I shall never forget it.
Well, I watched it because you got me intrigued by your performance.
And?
Well...
Well, what?
You were a kid. What did you know?
Well, I'm sorry. You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, come on. Those line readings?
bit histrionic, don't you think? Heavy-handed. It's as if you were attempting to act as opposed to just acting.
How fucking dare you? I was luminous. I fucking killed it. Those scenes hold up, you fucking halfwit!
You've got quite a temper. I betcha Heather Dromgruhl brought out your dark side when she made fun of your performance right to your face.
Bacon shrugs and looks away.
Never met her?
Oh, I think otherwise. As a matter of fact, I've got a half-wit theory about it.
Heather strolls around the party, sipping a glass of wine.
I think you met Heather at the La La Lime party. I think when she was denied a Silky Lamb gift bag, she went looking for a celebrity, and she found you.
Heather sidles up beside Bacon and smiles at him. He turns to face her, and they shake hands. Later, they kiss in Bacon's bed.
She came home with you. You two had sex to seal the deal.
Bacon nuzzles Heather's neck.
And she landed that Silky Lamb lotion as a parting gift.
Bacon hands a thrilled Heather the gift bag. She removes a jar of the Silky Lamb and unscrews the cap.
She stopped by the night of the murder. Things got sexy again. I think you creamed Heather head to toe before you made love to her.
Bacon applies cream to Heather's thigh as she lies on his bed wearing a bra and underwear. Bacon laughs wildly as Heather teases him. Next, they wear bathrobes and watch TV together.
After sex, you two were lounging around, flipping through the channels.
Ooh. It's my movie.
You found your own movie. You never pass up watching your own movie.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I think Heather made fun of your crappy performance.
Is this like before you took acting classes?
Thanks, Patty cake, baker's man.
She had a bad habit of that. You know, people I talked to said she'd like to do a little ribbing.
Bacon glowers at Heather.
I think she was standing about right here. And then you got angry. Yeah, real angry. You shoved Heather from a dark place of inner rage. But I think she was very greasy, very slippery. And she fell backwards into your statue, which of course explains the globe-shaped dent in her head. A woman lay dead on your floor because of your fragile ego. And then you panicked, and you went to your neighbor's garage, and you chopped her up to make it look like it was some sort of serial killer type thing. Your cuts were so profoundly sloppy because your hands were heavily creamed, the tools slipping in and out. And then you chopped up her body and threw it out on your front lawn like a pile of dog shit. Because who's gonna suspect a killer of dumping a body on their own front lawn? Now here's where I was really confused. The Star of David, that one had me miffed. And then I figured it out. You're a self-loathing Jew. You're a self-loathing Jew.
Bacon grabs Hansen and tackles him to the floor.
You bastard!
You're gonna end up dead.
On my lawn, too!
Bacon fights for the gun on Hansen's hip. They pull it out and grasp for control. The gun flies across the floor. Bacon reaches for it on his stomach. Hansen grabs him by the ankle.
Freeze, asshole!
Fleur enters, gun drawn.
Ow!
The sliding door by the pool.
But you checked the door. You jiggled the handle.
That was a fake jiggle, my friend. I should be an actor.
Bacon looks at Fleur, who smirks. Now, a cop leads Bacon outside in handcuffs.
Well, I guess that explains why my vagina was achy all morning. Why
is that?
Well, you know, I knew you were gonna need help. It was pulsing a warning.
So that's your finely tuned intuition?
Oh, yeah. Either that or, you know, my pussy can't handle more than four toes anymore. I hope it's not that.
I love you for so many reasons.
Yeah.
Kenda waits by the squad car.
Hey, Bacon, nice bathrobe.
Fuck you, Joe Kenda. Fuck you.
You wouldn't like me, I just lay there.
The cop puts Bacon in the back seat.
Lieutenant?
Detective Ansem? I told you it was the ex-boyfriend. The old, if I can't have you, no one can have you trick.
Yeah, that's a good theory, but he's not the ex... Well, yes, he's the ex-boyfriend. Good one. Good theory.
A car pulls up, and a blonde woman emerges.
What the fuck? Hi. What is going on here?
Hi. Detective Ansem, LAPD.
Kaylee. You know,
hi, Kaylee.
Live right there.
Oh, you live right there, so it's your dog.
Oh, my God. Is my dog okay?
Dog's good.
Oh, what is the shit going on next to my house, man?
Your neighbor murdered somebody.
This is ridiculous. I just got back from vacation, and here I am coming back to all this commotion next to my house.
Wait a second. You're Kaylee Cuoco.
Yeah.
Wow. I love saying your name.
Oh.
It's a delight.
That's nice.
It rolls off the tongue. Kaylee Cuoco.
Do you need any help solving this one?
No, we're good.
Okay.
Even though you're Kaylee Cuoco, and I'd love to say, come on in.
Okay.
It's all solved.
All right.
He's being taken away.
Great. This is so fucked up. You know what, driver? Take me back to the airport.
Enjoy your good looks.
All right.
Wow.
She climbs back into the car, and Ansem walks away.
A little epilogue will do you.
Nora and Ansem stand outside.
Wow. I am so lucky that I met you. Honestly, I look at your face and I don't even know how to talk about it. Seriously, this feeling I have is just bigger than anything I could ever explain to you. I cannot believe that you...
Miss, we're just about wrapped up inside and ready to bail.
Great. Thank you. You can call me Nora.
Nora it is. And we found this Tupperware cookies on the side of the washer. You taking these with?
Oh, no, those are gross. You can toss them out.
All right.
The moving man steps away and Ansem squints.
Anyway, back to what I was saying before. I cannot believe you have done this for me. I really can't.
Well, if a person can make someone else happy, they ought to do it, right?
Right. I can tell it makes you a little uncomfortable to be thanked, so I'll stop. You know, we were going to have you up once we get settled, but then I realized you would not be comfortable with that.
Well, I don't think I'd be uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I know you would hate that power dynamic. Me, just like so grateful. You, a goddamn angel.
Well, I don't know that I would go calling me an angel.
And like an angel, it's better for you to just stay at a distance, observe from the clouds. You don't want me calling you and sticking around in your life. I know you would not be comfortable with an arrangement like that. So I'll just save you from the pressure.
I'd be comfortable. It'd be okay.
Yeah, Karis! Honey, come here.
Karis and Charles step outside.
I want you to say thank you to Jean before we never see him again, okay? I don't want to,
That's
Karis.
Okay. She doesn't have to. It's.
I wasn't finished. I don't want to thank him in words. I'll thank him with a dance.
This is the shining youth of America.
Charles steps aside, and Karis takes a knee on the lawn with her back to Ansem and Nora. She stands slowly and turns around, her hands covering her face. She spreads her arms and flashes her palms and kicks from side to side while stroking her index fingers. She windmills into a robot stance, her shoulders raised and palms facing backwards. She drops her head to one side and pulls it back to center with one hand. As she dances, Charles moves with her. She spins around, pretending to stab herself in the stomach. After dropping to her hands and knees, she hops up and flicks the underside of her chin with each hand before returning to her original pose. Charles claps.
Well, I think I should be thanking you.
Ansem points at Karis, smiling. He returns his gaze to Nora, who beams at him and spreads her arms for a hug.
Goodbye, Jean. Forever.
The hug ends, and the moving man steps out again, bearing a cardboard box.
We're all good, Nora.
He hands the box off to another mover, and Nora spreads her arms for another hug.
Okay.
This hug lasts much longer than Ansem's, with extra backstroking. He stands aside awkwardly, shifting his weight and looking around. Finally, the hug ends. Nora smiles at Ansem and brushes his shoulder as she heads for her car. Karis joins her, and Charles stands beside Ansem. The moving van pulls away, and Nora drives behind. Karis glares at Hansom from the passenger seat.
Boy, that's not what I expected.
It is what it is. Yeah.
Charles waves in front of his face.
Au revoir, detective.
Yeah, later, Charles.
Excuse me.
Charles mounts his bike.
You're in my way.
Yeah. Come on, Candy, over here.
Okay. He pulls Candy aside. Charles pedals once, then kicks his legs up behind him and glides away.
All right, come on, sweetie. Let's go. Come on.
Hansom walks Candy past Durante's house.
Hey, Hansom! Neighbor's moving out already.
Candy starts towards Durante.
Yeah, she's heading out to Ojai. She got a couple acres and a little farmhouse.
What's she gonna do out there?
Well, she's given up being a dental assistant. She's gonna go into canine massage. She found a program there, 200 hours. You're in. It's kind of holistic. It's very exciting.
Wonder what kind of money you can make massaging dogs.
She'll be fine.
Durante's grin plummets.
It is what it is.
Durante pantomimes an accordion.
Later. Coming, Asta!
Durante heads inside his house. Hansom looks down at Candy. The dog squats on the grass and poops. Now, Hansom and Candy walk down the sidewalk towards home. Hansom looks across the street. The blonde woman performs in her front yard with three hula hoops. Hansom watches her. He glances down for a moment, then looks up again. Cut to black. Special guest star, Kaylee Cuoco. Special guest star, Joe Kenda. Ava Akers as Karis. Armani as Candy the Dog. Dino Battaglia as Detective Doc. Brent Bradshaw as the Heckler. Mike R. Carlson as Detective Rice. Kaylee Cuoco as herself. J. Mark Donaldson as stunt performer. Megan Ferguson as Amanda. Aaron Foley as Detective Holt. James Garland as drive-thru worker number one. Jeff Garland as Detective Gene Hansom. Richard Gonzalez as tour bus driver. Hidekun Ha as Japanese tourist number six. Teruko Hakajima as Japanese tourist number nine. Yoriko Haraguchi as Japanese tourist number 11. Hidetoshi Imura as Japanese tourist number 2. Milan Johnson as drive-thru worker number 2. Jules as thirsty dog. Akiko Kato as Japanese tourist number 12. Tomo Kawaguchi as Japanese tourist number 8. Joe Kenda as Lieutenant Joe Kenda. Haley Lautenbach as Heather Dromgul. Mayan Lopez as translator. Natasha Leon as Detective Fleurs Kosari. Nelson Mashita as Japanese tourist number 5. Brad Morris as Detective Jerpis. Eddie Pepitone as Durante. Second Unit Director Ryan Crazer. Consulting Producer James Garland. In loving memory of Michelle McNamara. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animals were harmed. Copyright 2016, JZM Films Incorporated. The events, characters, and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead, or to actual events or firms, is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright, and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.